Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
You know, it's not pretty at all, is what's going on with illegal mining. How serious a problem is this in South Africa? Is it just as an excuse? Is it an excuse that government is using for chaos in terms of criminality? Or is this a serious problem that perhaps has failed to be policed? James Lorimer is the Shadow Minister for Mineral Resources for the Democratic Alliance. Good morning. Thanks for joining us today. How are you doing?
Good morning. Very nice to be with you.
So it's clearly going on for a very long time. This is not the incidents in the last week or so are not the first that we've experienced in South Africa.
You're right. It has been going on for a long time, but it is getting worse. And illegal mining covers a sort of spectrum of levels of sophistication. At the one level, you have these guys who I suspect were the people involved in the Krugersdorp rapes, who are the real desperate chisel, shovel, and headlight torch guys who often you find digging their own hole about 3 to 5 meters below the ground, carving out a crawl space, and which is incredibly dangerous, and then coming out with gold-bearing rock. On another level, you have old gold mine shafts, mostly old, but some of them still working gold mines, where people live for months at a time, hundreds of meters below the surface, which is a much more organized type of illegal mining. And then you have surface mining too, where you have big yellow machines stripping out coal and chrome usually.
Wow.
Often in plain view of the public. And nothing is done about them, either because the police and the department have been bribed, or because they managed to introduce a certain amount of confusion amongst the police. So in other words, the police would see these
hiding in plain sight.
And then what they do is they produce a departmental letterhead. And it looks like a civil dispute or, you know, some kind of technical thing with it, which the police can't cope with. So they just walk away and leave it. But that's the sort of spectrum that we're dealing with. And it's definitely getting worse. Criminality is one of the three main problems affecting mining in this country.
I'd just like to understand this. You know, when you're mining for gold, you're talking about roughly, I don't know, 12 grams, 15 grams per ton of metal. Somebody's got to buy that ton of dirt that needs to be processed. It's not,
okay, well,
you know, you're talking about, am I missing something? Is that not how they operating, for example, in the gold? In chrome, it's different. You can visually see the chrome. You're operating on a seam. You remove the chrome. It's not a difficult, that's easy. But something
well,
like precious
metal methods,
is different.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, there's a whole value chain, you know, like any mining. So let's start with the basics again, with the very low end zomazomas. What they will do is they will dig out the gold concentrate. They then take it somewhere where it gets crushed, usually by hand. Now, up until eight years ago, you could still find people crushing gold ore within plain view of Main Reef Road, going out around Roodepoort on the West Rand.
Right.
There you had at one stage about 100 women, mostly women, sitting in the shade, crushing rock, the rock that was delivered in these very distinctive sacks from the illegal miners. What happens then is the crushed concentrate is washed over what they call a James table, which is really just an inclined concrete slab, and they cover this usually with towels, and you wash water over it and the gravel and you wash the gravel down. What happens is the gold, being heavier than anything else, actually gets stuck in the towel. What you then have to do is just simply squeeze out the towel in a bucket of water. You can then pan the gold, and you can get a reasonable concentrate. What they then do is they melt it with mercury in a very hazardous process, which nevertheless produces pretty well refined gold. Now, you know, once you have gold in an almost pure form, it's actually quite easy to sell. As you can imagine, it's very portable.
Right.
And that can get, the assumption is that mostly gets taken out to the Middle East.
So it's interesting because they actually are, I mean, to some extent they're processing it, because I was trying to imagine picking, you know, taking this amount of dirt and trying to sell it somewhere, whereas you've just explained. How on top of it is government? You know, we know that the Department of Mineral and Energy Affairs has been in complete chaos for years. Surely this is simply a reflection of that.
Absolutely. It's a reflection of that, and it's a reflection of the inability of the police to come to terms with disorder. And, you know, you will find that Krugersdorp is not the only hotspot in South Africa, even on the reef. Mm. You know, you go to places like the Zamampilo mining settlement at Rivoli, which is directly adjacent to Main Reef Road. And you can stand on the pavement of Main Reef Road and you can look at, amongst those shacks, and you will see three or four gold processing areas. And police barely do anything about it. And one of the problems is that there's no law called illegal mining, against illegal mining. So you can get caught for possession of unwrought gold, for example. But now you can imagine catching somebody with a sack of what looks like gold concentrate. Mm, mm. They then have to send that off to the police lab. Now here's the problem. As we know, the police lab is in complete disarray. It's going to take 6 months to get a result back. What do? You don't. You can't hold the guy for 6 months to find out whether or not he was in possession of unwrought gold. So the guy gets let go. And usually the person caught is an immigrant, usually illegal, from either Lesotho or Zimbabwe. And they just disappear, of course. Even when police arrest people on immigration charges, and a policeman on the West Road has said this to me, they then deport them back to Zimbabwe, and they have found them back within 72 hours, at it again. So
the whole system is broken.
In many cases, just give up. The whole system is broken, absolutely.
Because, and what do we expect? You know, it's a system that is absolutely prime for advantage taking. Because if the department itself isn't functioning particularly well, if policing around it and the laws around the prosecution of illegal mining is not in place, if the police system is not efficient enough to be able to prosecute people found guilty, and immigration isn't even able to identify or hold people, then I'm really not sure what we should be expecting in terms of anything different.
What you could expect is the Wild West, and that's what we've got at the moment. And things are completely out of control. Police are also reluctant to act against particularly the more organized gangs of illegal miners because they're very, very heavily armed. And you will see that when police arrested people around Krugersdorp, one person seems to have put the gun on the police and been shot dead. And this is a clear pattern as well. Even amongst the really basic Zama-Zamas, often what they do is they give a cut or a fixed daily rate to a gunman who stands guard on where they are operating. And this is not only to protect them from members of the public who are warned off sometimes by gunmen, but also to warn them in the case of the police, or to protect them from other gangs, because there have been a large number of cases where illegal miners have been killed by other illegal miners who wait until they've mined the concentrate and then come and shoot them and take what they've mined.
Proving there's very little honor amongst thieves. Is anything being done about this? Anything meaningful being done about this?
Well, meaningful is the key word there. Mm. There was a very large task force involving everybody from the police to national security to the department to even the larger mining companies, which used to meet. And they used to present to the Parliamentary Portfolio Committee on a fairly regular basis. Last time I recall us getting a presentation from them was about 5 years ago. And it emerged at this presentation. We sat down in this room and they told us about all these wonderful successes that they'd had. And then I added up the total amount of material seized, and it was, you know, it's fairly impressive sounding, 80 or 90 million rands worth of it. And I said, but hang on, by the government's own admission, there's something like 6 billion rand in gold alone being mined illegally in South Africa. So this is a tiny percentage that you're coming to grips with. Mm. Well, I don't know whether it was because of that or not, but that we have heard neither sight nor sound of that committee.
Absolutely
since then.
Incredible. But
So what we need is we need new legislation, which is tricky, but I suspect can be done. And, you know, the DA is talking about it at the moment, quite, you know, how we could do this. And you know, how do you catch somebody? How do you hold them responsible for a crime without sort of catching them red-handed or not being sure whether you've caught them red-handed? And I suspect what you've got to do is, you know, that there are laws that you can get caught in possession of housebreaking equipment.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you're walking down the road in the suburb, through the suburbs at night, and you've got a bag, and inside the bag you've got a crowbar and a security jammer and a chisel. And you
so,
know,
so even if you haven't serious. Done anything wrong yet, it indicates your intention
right.
to break into
so,
a home.
Mm. So think for a moment that, you know, on these areas where there are illegal mining, which are all almost inevitably places that were mined before, those areas are declared mining areas. And you say within a mining area, you can get caught just on the basis of that within that area you have those mining tools without good explanation. So that's one way that you can do it.
Mm.
Another thing that needs to happen is the police need to be empowered. And we have called for a specific mining unit in the police. You know, in the same way that they used to have drug units and family violence units before Jackie Salibi shut them down. That was before he went to jail. And mostly, though, you just have to do even the basic policing properly, because there are these areas on the reef which are no longer in the control of the government. They are controlled by illegal miners. Krugersdorp is one. Rivoli is another. There's another one out at Benoni on the East Rand where police cannot go in unless it's in numbers and well-armed, because it's just too dangerous.
So when
and no government can allow that to continue.
Definitely not. So when we have an incident in terms of the alleged rapes that took place in Krugersdorp last week, this is almost, and I shudder to use the term, but almost a natural and expected progression of what we've seen. If people are operating illegally, they are they're not answerable to any form of law enforcement, really. If they come in and out of the country as they choose, then the very next step, and the police themselves are generally are hesitant to get involved, then what do we expect when women are raped under these types of circumstances? It's almost something that was inevitable in some way.
Yeah, you're quite right. You know, it's not just mining law that's been broken in those areas. If there's no police control, it's every law that can be broken in those areas.
Mm. The fact that it's now left the pure mining area of criminality and started to get involved in others in terms of these rapes, does that give it a better chance of actually being dealt with in terms because of the focus?
Well, it's very sad that it had to come to this to people's wider attention.
Mm.
This is something that I brought up in the committee, 8 years ago, I think, for the first time. And there's, in fact, a committee visit to the West Rand and East Rand to have a look at illegal mining. There were various observations made by the committee, but no concrete steps were suggested or followed through on. So it has just continued and just got worse. And it is spread around the country, and criminality is absolutely rife. And I was in Mpumalanga the other day, and I went to Emalahleni and found right on the outskirts of town, there were a number of spontaneous coal fires burning. And they'd been burning because people were illegally mining coal seams right adjacent to a suburb. And they'd been burning for 6 months. And the department's office was less than 10 kilometers from there. They'd done nothing. The police had done nothing. The people who held the mining right had done nothing. And these were big yellow machines stripping out coal illegally and taking it away and selling it for very good prices. I mean, mineral prices have been extremely high. So this has become an incredibly profitable enterprise.
Well, certainly if you're not paying for the minerals either, if all you're doing is mining and processing, and not that that's cheap either, but the fact is that it becomes a very profitable business. It's really, really frightening, but you've given us some incredible perspective here and an overall view of an industry that is very difficult for most of us to understand. James Lorimer is a Shadow Minister for Mineral Resources for the Democratic Alliance. He has been speaking to us about the problem in South Africa of illegal mining.